You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al, it's your turn to hit it.
Yeehaw!
Hey, hello, everybody. Welcome. It's Dave's Corner Garage coming to you live and somewhat clear.
I feel a little bit intimidated doing that this morning. I got an OPP guy sitting right beside me.
I'm watching for you.
And I'm going to get a ticket for making too much noise.
Got your windows down?
But I don't have tint on those windows.
Well, obviously, you know that Kerry Schmidt is with us this morning, and it's a pleasure to have him.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right. He's going down to the car show after this, right?
Yeah, I've been there yesterday already. It's been a busy week setting up, and man, it's been crazy yesterday. It's going to be an awesome 10
days. How many hours you put in?
It was about a 14-hour day yesterday, I think.
Well, and, overtime was good.
Yeah, I wish. No, it doesn't work that way.
No, I our insurance expert, Fred DeFrancesco, is going to call in because of the latest news item, which means insurance companies are making an absolute fortune.
Getting jammed.
Apparently, we've overpaid $12 billion in the last 15 years, and they're wondering why. If accidents are going down, why is our insurance rates going up? Freddie's going to have some answers for us. And Susan Gubasta.
Perfect.
Perfect. Okay.
That's not bad for you.
Okay. She is actually the dealer principal for Mississauga Toyota, and she's also the head of the auto show, and she's going to tell us what's going on at the auto show this weekend. Obviously, it's on for the next, I think, 14, 15
14 days, exactly.
Yeah, 14 days. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're always looking forward to your questions. So if you want to ask the cop about something that you did wrong, right, or want to do, this might be the place where you can do that. And remember, you can go to facebook.com/ Dave's Corner Garage if you want to see what we look like.
But
we
make sure you put that bowl of Cheerios down before you use
Cheerios,
your phone.
Right. You're having Bailey's and coffee this morning, aren't you?
I am.
A little tired from Valentine's Day last night?
Well, I hope I don't have to walk the straight line after
that's true.
We might make you do the test here.
And we have a bunch of questions that people have written in yesterday and some this morning for OPP Sergeant Kerry Schmidt. So we'll get to those later on.
Go on the hot seat.
Well, we could warm it up for you. Dave, you want to?
Yeah, I was going to say, I can work on overtime for you.
Talk to my boss.
Nobody's allowed to do a 14-hour day. Anyways, we'll be right back with Kerry. We're going to ask some questions, and a lot of them on our emails already are here, but if you want to call in, then listen for the number and do it.
And you can watch us on Facebook
And
see what kind of pretty faces we are.
Well, so you can get carried away. And also, any car care questions you may have, because Dave and Al together have a century of experience, good or bad.
Well, it's 1 year at a time.
Yeah.
Which way do you turn the crank? Clockwise or counterclockwise?
Clockwise.
The wrench on and twist the starter, the nut comes right out.
And once again, we're off the road.
Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
What is that?
I got a star on my car and one on my chest, a gun on my hip and the right to arrest.
Nice.
I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway, so watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Da-da-da-da.
He knows the sound.
He knows the sound.
Hey, little doggy.
That's on my favorites list. I crank it up every time I hit the road.
Alrighty. Kerry's
with Schmidt.
Yep. That guy.
He's with us. Kerry, high-end vehicles. Apparently there is a plague on high-end vehicles being swiped off your driveway.
Well, good thing I don't have one of those, so I'm not worried about that myself. But we are seeing a lot of high-end vehicles, like cars being stolen, and they're being stolen right under the noses of their owners. They are on their driveways, and they can come up and they can snag these vehicles in seconds sometimes, even with keyless and securities and fobs. they have ways to hijack these vehicles, clone these fobs, clone these security systems, and be able to unlock the car and drive it away. We're no longer back in the day when you scratch those two wires together and punch the ignition, and the Dukes of Hazzard days when they would steal a car. It's not happening. These are beautiful cars, and they are going out just like they think it's an owner.
No, and that's the problem with technology. Yeah. You know, as more complicated as it gets, and the it makes it that much easier to steal the car.
I thought that we had the problem solved with all these security systems and so on. But again, thieves have a way of figuring it out. So to protect yourselves, you need to obviously think about what you're doing, where you're parking your vehicle, where do you leave your keys, if they're close to the front door, if they're hanging on the hook right outside the door. There's a way that thieves can come in and they can just scan and get the frequencies off of these fobs and clone them.
Remember a couple weeks ago we had a woman called in. She had a two-year-old. She had a 2015 white Lexus. Mm. Remember she called in and said she was shopping, mm-hmm. came back, car was gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know, I think the gist of it, she didn't know what she could do next. Does she go to the manufacturer? Should she go to the police? How would somebody go about that if their car was stolen when they come back from wherever?
Yeah, where do you put your groceries now? So, yeah, call the police, find out what's going on. You know, we've seen reports where all of a sudden there's a dozen Lexuses stolen down a single street. They just go down. It's a machine, and they'll grab every car of high-end values in a neighborhood, and they may be going for certain specific brands, and these vehicles, they may be ending up in a container. Heading overseas.
Well, if you're going to go to jail for stealing a car, you might as well steal the fanciest car they got.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what's going on. There's money being made. There's organized crime happening. There's people out there that are, you know, doing things that are making lives miserable for us.
All right, so let's back up. We don't leave our keys hanging inside the front door.
If there's a way to keep them in a secured lockbox that does not allow the radio frequencies to come out, you know, it's one of those, put them in a tin box, put them in a coffee tray, or put them in something that will kind of insulate the radio transmission, the frequencies from these devices.
And what about the old mechanical ways? You know, they used to have the claw on the car. Do you think that's going to stop anybody or slow it down?
You know what? I still see the odd car with the club or the claw, or whatever they call these things. On cars. I don't see it too often, but it's certainly not without exception. So, you know, that's obviously going to make it difficult for someone to get in there easily and start steering. But again, if they have a way of punching those locks with bolt cutters, you can actually sometimes cut through these things.
Now,
too.
They cut the steering wheel. They don't cut the lock.
Yeah. I don't know exactly. But, you know, I mean, for example, like you say, if they're walking down the street, they're going to look at the ones that are the easiest ones to take first.
Low-hanging fruit. They're going to take the easy cars that are going out. It's not just, you know, there's been some times where it's been a certain brand, a certain vehicle description that's been easy to punch ignitions, easy to get in, easy to hotwire. What's the name for getting these vehicles going?
You know, there was a story that came across the wire a couple days ago out of Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys, there was a syndicate of about 20 guys who were using drones to key into certain districts in Dallas. And that's how they were getting the cars.
Really?
Flying over neighborhoods and going, that one, and that one.
Wow.
Boom.
Yeah. Scary.
Now, a steering wheel still locking, or is it just push-button start?
Well, they still lock, but once it's been activated, it unlocks.
Unlocks it right away.
Yeah. It's not like a whole mechanical way.
So, and then once it's overseas, it's gone. You never see it again.
Yeah, you'll never see it. You know, it's not going to be, you know, it's not just chop shops or whatever that are cutting these cars up. They're selling them to brand name people overseas that are paying top dollar for these vehicles.
And I'm sure that's going to link into what we're going to talk about afterwards with Freddie, you know, because these high-end cars are stolen.
Right.
Who has to pay? We pay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, insurance company have to pay out for all these.
Well, it's $100,000 cars, you know, it goes fast. So you have a thing called Chilton? It's multi-jurisdictional joint forces operation led by Ontario Provincial Police and Organized Crime Bureau in eastern regions. So you've got a...
Yeah, we have auto theft crews and groups out there doing all kinds of work, which is great. Joint forces trying to, you know, share intelligence, share information across police services. If there's information, if we can understand of maybe a group of people going around from communities to communities stealing vehicles, you know, working together collaboratively, but we need the public eyes and ears out there as well. If you see someone suspicious, you've got to call police and call these people out. See if they actually belong in your neighborhood. They may actually be those thieves you're trying to get rid of.
And it's the time right now, if you got a question for Officer Schmidt, to give us a call. And we got a couple questions that have been written in on facebook.com/Dave's Corner Garage. And one of them is going to do with Move Over. Is that what it's called?
Move Over. Over.
Move Over. Exactly. Or as Al says, here's the bird.
no, that's get the F out of the way.
Oh, I thought I thought it was a different kind of emoji.
Ah.
So we welcome your calls. We're here right through to the entire hour. And more stuff coming up as far as the auto show. We're going to be there live on Family Day.
Yeah.
From 1 until 2. And Al and I are going to shave and have some new shirts.
We got some swag.
Great swag. Yeah. So, lots of stuff going on. We need you to be part of the show, so give us a call or write in. This is Dave's Corner Garage with Alan, Officer Kerry Schmidt, and Dave Redinger. Back in a second. Don't go away. I wonder if we could hear that sheriff song again. That'd be kind of good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Junior Brown was the guy's name.
There's Al, and there's Gary Schmidt.
I got a star on my chest.
I hope that's the only place you got it there, boy.
Convoy.
Oh, well, I've heard other things with your emotions, but that's another day. Dave, over to you.
All righty. My name's Dave Redinger. I'm with Kerry Schmidt from the OPP.
Happy to be here.
And Alan Gelman
Thank you very much,
the audience is here, too. Steve. Okay, the question is, move over law.
Wow.
So you got a guy pulled over the side of the road for one reason or another.
Yeah.
Usually because he needs help.
Well, you know, it's not just for enforcement actions. If you're involved in a car crash, if you have a broken down vehicle, have flat tire, you got a tow truck pulled up in front ready to hook them up,
yeah,
or an officer there providing some assistance. When you see those lights flashing, you've got to slow down. You've got to move over. I was at a crash last week where an officer was responding to a vehicle that had spun out into the wall on the 401. The vehicle was disabled. It was slippery and icy and dangerous. Officer got to the scene. They had their emergency lights flashing, well visible for everybody to see, and cars came smoking up from behind and did not move or did not realize how dangerous the situation was, slammed into the back of that police vehicle. The officer went to the hospital, was treated and released. He's off duty right now, recovering from his injuries. You know, that's just one of many. We have so many car crashes where officers are getting injured or getting hit, or their vehicles are getting written off. We had a tow truck struck, and the tow operator was killed. This was just
the winter
started back in October, and it was so dangerous. And drivers going way
people
too
just
fast.
Don't get it. Like, no. If there's a siren going,
but
I've
seen people freak out too, where they're just, you know, they're so scared they don't realize that they have to get out of the way.
Yeah,
you know, where all of a sudden there's a thing behind them. And you have to be cognizant of what's in front of you.
Yeah.
In other words, if you're three across and you're blocking traffic, you have to move your car. You know, like but I say, they're scared that because they hear the siren that I better not move. But in fact, it's your responsibility to get out of the way to let that emergency vehicle go by.
Yeah, well, that's a different story when emergency vehicles are approaching from behind, mm-hmm, and then you turn to the right and let them go by. But when they're stopped on the side of the road, then it also includes tow trucks. And you need to actually, the first and foremost is slow down. Slow down as you approach. Be prepared to stop if needed, and then move into an adjacent lane if there's one available.
You know, I was just thinking, you know, when you do your driver's test, they should actually have an area of the 401 where they can stand and watch the cars go by and realize what 80 miles an hour is like.
You know what? My car will shake as cars are going by me at highway speed. And it's intimidating. And if there's any young drivers or new drivers out there, they don't realize what it's like to have that kind of stress or anxiety.
Yes.
And how are they going to react initially?
Interesting stuff. Okay, second question. We're talking 400 dangerous drivers were taken off the road in 2019.
2020.
Already. Oh, I misread it.
In the first 40 days of January.
400 already.
400. Like, we're taking about 10 cars. And that's just in the Toronto area. That doesn't include all the other enforcement actions that are going on all across the province.
So what's dangerous driving?
So dangerous driving, stunt driving, street racing, speeding, excessive speed. A lot of them are drivers going 50 kilometers or more over the speed limit.
Yeah.
That's an automatic stunt driving, street racing offense. And that it results in an automatic 7-day license suspension, a 7-day vehicle impound. You're going home on a tow truck, and you've got penalties to answer to a judge when it goes to court. Penalties can go up to $10,000.
Whoa.
You know, this is
demerit points,
serious.
Too?
Absolutely. Yeah, huge demerit points. And the problem is, that drivers don't think that what they're doing is maybe dangerous or concerning for other motors, because you're sharing the road with drivers who may be going 80, and now you coming across them doing 150, 160. We've had cars going 250, 230.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Don't you find as well, though, that more and more people are just driving aggressively, period?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Everybody's in such a bloody hurry.
Yeah, and you know what? And if you're driving the left lane and you're driving the speed limit and cars are passing you on the inside, yeah, it's because they're frustrated you didn't move over. So you're the problem. The guy in the left lane is the problem.
I'm the right lane passer.
Or one of the problems.
Yeah,
it's shared, but
like they say, if there's a lineup of cars behind you and none in front of you,
yeah,
move over.
Exactly.
If you're driving a smart car, you're not passing anybody.
We've got a bunch of calls to get to, so please be patient if you're waiting on the line. We will get to that. And coming up next, we're going to talk about why insurance rates are going through the roof. Whether it's a sunroof or anything.
Who knows
like that?
Who knows that? Who knows that?
A guy named Fred. Fred's not here, man. Fred DeFrancesco.
Fred will be here.
He'll be coming up. Dave's Corner Garage will be back right after this.
Okay, welcome back.
No way Al's going to do it. Just wait. Please.
I'm waiting.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. My name is Alan Gelman. Sitting beside me are the road crew that throw me under the bus on a regular occasion. We have Steve and we have Dave. Yep. And we've got Officer Kerry Schmidt here.
I'm not
as well.
Throwing you under the bus. Come
no,
on.
No, you're right.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a good guy.
You're the guy stopping traffic so nobody runs me over. And
this is so Al's
that.
Wife won't write in saying, would you guys shut up and let my husband talk?
Okay, on the phone, we have Fred DeFrancesco. Fred, he is an insurance man in his whole life. He actually is a teacher as well. Correct, Fred?
I am.
There you go. Fred, we were talking earlier about high-end car theft, and maybe that's one of the reasons that car insurance is so high, but you're an inside guy. You know the poop. What can you tell us?
Well, many automobile thefts, I'm sure Kerry will back me up on this, many auto thefts, the autos are recovered a day, 2 days, 3 days later. Many of them, of course, end up in containers and overseas. But, you know, there's many other reasons as to why we're seeing rates skyrocket today. In part, it's claims. In another part, it's the fault of the insurance companies. I mean, look, parts are no longer the simple parts of yesterday. Parts today include sensors, computers, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a simple headlight assembly used to cost, what, a couple of $100 at one time, and now we're looking at them at, an average of $1,500.
Well, exactly. I mean, don't forget, in the old days, you know, you did a bumper and a grill and a little bit of paint, and that was $1,000. But now, when you do that, you're setting off three airbags, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, and taking apart the whole front end of the vehicle.
There you go. So you now you've gone from $1,000 to $10,000 just overnight.
Yeah, so the physical damage to the vehicles themselves, of course, that has skyrocketed. And, of course, lawsuits are skyrocketing as well, where at one time you sued for your physical injuries and a little bit of pain and sufferings. Now you've got psychological injuries mixed into the mix as well. I mean, if you look at a statement of claim today coming in, I mean, it's getting very, very creative. And there's also part of the policy known as the accident benefits that I'm sure you guys are aware of. It's the true no-fault section of your policy, which has been and remains a section of medical entitlements, even though you're responsible in the accident. And on top of these pure claim costs that I'm talking about, you also have a very expensive underwriting process. In other words, to process that piece of paper for you, and that's attached to underwriting, and the insurance companies are purely to blame for this.
Yeah, but Fred, talking about this has been the highest profits they've ever made in the last couple of years,
I don't disagree, but here, I'll put it in a nutshell. I think over the past 15 years, we've let the colonel babysit the pet chicken.
Mm-hmm.
When insurance companies or when governments are looking for changes and what have you, I mean, who do they go to? They go to the legal profession. They go to the healthcare providers. They go to the auto repair industry. They go to the insurance industry. I mean, look who they're asking. They're asking people that have an interest in the policy. What do you think they're going to tell you? Do you think the legal profession is going to come around and say, well, geez, we don't want to see lawsuits anymore? Or the healthcare providers saying, well, geez, we're going to get rid of physiotherapy. Well, that's just not going to happen. So what has happened here is over the past 30 years, guys, we have a policy that is broken. And quite frankly, there's no government today or tomorrow that's going to do anything to reduce your premiums significantly.
They said they were going to try.
Well, remember last government? They were going to reduce premiums by, what, 15%?
Yeah, they reduced coverage.
Yeah, well, no, my question was 15% for what date?
Yeah.
And of course, you know, they eventually started reducing premiums about 2 years after the premiums had gone up about 20 or 25%.
Freddie, how much does population have to do with the increase in rates?
Well, you know, when you have a high-density area, Steve, obviously you're going to have a greater frequency of claims within that area. But I know you're going to get down to the postal code situation. And people have totally lost sight of why the postal code rating came in. Many, many years ago. And I was there at the time when this happened. I believe we had the Harris government in place at the time.
Ooh.
It was because we had pockets in the GTA, areas in the GTA, that were staging accidents. And the reason why the postal code rating came into place was to pinpoint these specific areas that were staging accidents. And of course, we had a very lucrative accident benefits section of the policy at the time, where people were just basically raping it. It was a social program. I mean, people were set for life if they were injured on that particular policy at the time. So that was the introduction of postal code rating. Then, of course, it spread everywhere else, and I have no idea where it is now. But I don't think it's fair, personally. But the only solution to all this, guys, is it takes courage to do this, and it takes expertise to do this. And there's nothing out there right now that has...
Well, we need vehicles to be insured as well, because we get plenty of vehicles and drivers out there driving without insurance already. They're getting charged, and yet they continue to drive and drive and drive. And sometimes it's just because they're willing to take the chance of operating their vehicle without insurance, hoping they're not going to get stopped, or hopefully they're not...
What about all these electric bicycles? You know, like they have these electric bicycles.
Do you know, yeah, there's new legislation coming out with e-scooters and all kinds... There's all kinds of new configurations of vehicles where people can be riding around.
Oh, the e-scooters, right?
Yeah.
They have the flags on. They're, you know, a lot of them are vets. And they're really nice.
I always thought the guys on electric motorcycles are DWIs, you know? Like,
do you know what? Well, I don't want to say a lot of them are. No, they're not. But you know what? There's a lot of different provisions. I see people driving vehicles that aren't defined as a vehicle when they're suspended or disqualified because of what this vehicle category is. So you can drive a tractor even when your license is suspended. Because
is that
it's
right?
Not, yeah. Okay, I'm not giving you all kinds of back tips here. But those.
Anyway. What about bicycles and stuff? They're not insured.
Well, okay, yeah, but, you know, guys, you take an electric bicycle and what have you, and then the liability of your home or condominium or tenants package policy is going to extend to protect you there. But look at the other problems we have today. We have cyclists running into people.
Yes.
We have the e-bikes running into people. Well, it's not mandatory that these people carry home insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a bike can cause a lot of damage if it's moving quite quickly and runs into a child or a person, what have you.
You told me a story once where a bike ran into a parked car, and the guy was sleeping in his house, and he was charged. His insurance company paid for all the damages.
Listen, you hear of everything out there. If something's going to be challenged, and it's going to cost too much to challenge it, sometimes you'll have an insurance company, a good claims adjuster, that'll say, look, here's the money, go away.
Yeah.
It's cheaper to do it this way. But, guys, we have a broken automobile policy in the province of Ontario. It's going to take courage and expertise to change this policy dramatically. And if that's not going to happen, you're not going to see reduced automobile premiums in at least the near future.
I think they're just riding it out until the autonomous cars come in, because you see, once the autonomous cars come in, 90% of your collisions won't happen anymore.
Well, that's you see, I don't agree with you, because now instead of auto insurance, it's going to come down to products liability insurance. A car fails, who are you going to sue? You're going to sue the manufacturer. Well, that's a product's liability claim.
And that'll take a while.
No kidding.
Freddie, thank you so much. We got to run.
Okay, guys. Great talking to you.
Thank you.
You too.
Okay,
bye-bye now.
Interesting stuff. We have a quick question to go to. Gord is on the phone, is it? Yes. Gord's on the phone and preventing stolen vehicles. Gord, you have an idea?
I have an idea. I have it myself. Is on my vehicle, I have a dash cam front and rear, plus with it will notify me if there's any movement in the vehicle, and it will come to my phone. I can watch it. Plus, I have an insurance company that wouldn't insure it unless I had GPS.
Was that right?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know, there's lots of great technology out there, and I can tell you from OPP's perspective, we get a ton of dash cam from crashes and from driving complaints, and it is invaluable for us. I saw a dash cam just yesterday with a vehicle going the wrong way, headlong into traffic. I'm shocked and amazed that no one was killed in this incident, but capturing it on video really paints a whole other picture. I saw another vehicle dash cam with ice coming off another vehicle, and that dash cam captured the vehicle where it came from. So we're following up on that as well.
Is there any fine that is now in place for people who refuse to clean off their car with snow?
Well,
and you're going up the highway and you get this chunk of snow coming at you.
Yeah, it's so far, especially the day or two after a snowstorm when the snow is kind of settled, compacted, frozen, and oh yeah, we got some problem kids here. But you know, it comes off so quickly, and you have no idea which way it's going to flutter into. There is no specific offense that says snow on vehicle, fail to clean off. But if the snow is covering your windshield, doesn't give you a 360 view, covering your lights, or if the vehicle is downright dangerous, you know, we'll stop and make it right, but there's no ticket for it right now.
Well, right, and sometimes it's difficult. I mean, if it's an SUV and the person driving the car is not even 5 feet tall, how do they get to the top of the thing to clean it up?
I understand. Yeah, even transport trucks, you can't get up on top of a tractor trailer. Mm-hmm. Workplace safety, you need to be safe and climbing it, working at heights. We still need people to think about their vehicles.
Want to squeeze in one more call?
Yeah,
quickly?
Let's talk to Robert from Toronto. He's got a key fob problem. Robert, good morning.
Good morning.
Good. Quickly, tell us your issue.
My issue? I'm old.
That's with all of us here.
Well, thanks for calling. We got to move on.
Okay, got to go. Bye. Next week. Hurry up, Rob. We got about a half a minute, buddy.
Okay, I got a key fob, a 2012 Toyota Avalon. One works, one doesn't. When you press the button, the red light goes on indicating the battery's good. Change the battery. Then I go online, and it takes me half an hour, but it says 20 seconds. You know how it goes. You put your key in, you turn it on and off, and you pull it out. You open the door five times, close it, put the key in, do all this nonsense, and then you take your fob that you want to be programmed and lock and unlock the door, and it's supposed to be programmed. Well, that doesn't happen because you don't have enough time, and it doesn't seem to go for the system. Is there any quick remedy? I mean, you go to a dealer and pay $100.
Did you check YouTube?
No, I did. That's what I got it off.
That's what you got it off.
Otherwise, you know what to do is look under Locksmith in the Yellow Pages or Google it, and there are specific guys that deal directly with automotive issues.
Yes.
And they can reprogram it for a lot less money.
Great. Thank you very much for your call. And everybody that's hanging on right now, we'll get to you before the hour, so be patient.
Okay. And when we come back off our break.
Yes. I want to hear this slowly. Do it slowly, Dave. I won't hurt you.
Gubasta.
Yes. Susan Gubasta, president of the auto show, is going to be coming up next, along with Kerry Schmidt from the OPP and Alan Gelman.
That's a tough name.
What, Alan Gelman? Didn't see that one coming.
Little humor there.
Very.
Well, sometimes. Are you Mr. Gelman? No, not Gelman.
You don't look like a Gelman. You walk like a Gelman.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We're having too much fun, but we've got to stop now, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If it walks like a duck, it could be a
Gelman.
Or a sheriff. What's that sheriff song again? Come on, I'm a David. You can go.
You got it.
Goodbye. See you in a minute. We are back to Dave's Corner Garage. And don't forget, on Monday, Family Day, we will be down there doing our town hall panel. And we've got a great list of people that you can come by. Tons of swag to be given away. And Al and I will be down there. And Kerry, you can drop by if you get a
Absolutely.
Chance to come up for air.
I'm doing live stages there every day, 2 o'clock. Come by and visit us.
Elmer the Elephant. Bring him down.
Yeah. He was there yesterday, or her.
That's a new world. It's all-inclusive with Elmer.
Yeah, they was there.
All right, we're going to go to the phone right now, and here is Susan Gubasta, who is the president of the CIS. Dave, over to you.
Good morning, Susan. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. And how are you this morning?
Good. You had women-driven events. You know, it's interesting. 80 to 90% of the buying decisions involve women. And
Yes, they do.
Us dumb guys don't know that.
Well, or we just, you know, we're not sometimes paying attention, but we do influence a lot that goes on in the purchasing decisions of the households, and cars being one of the biggest purchases. It's very important that we get our say and that we understand what they're all about. It's really, really important. So I just want to say one thing. Thanks very much for having me on again this morning. The auto show opened up yesterday, and we just want everybody to come down and check it out. There's a lot going on down here, and it's very exciting.
It's actually the premier show actually in Canada. I mean, there's one in Montreal, and I think there's one in Calgary, but this one is the premium show of the event.
of automotive, and it is the largest consumer show in Canada.
I'm always amazed. You know, it started in 74. It started up at the airport and by the dealers. And the idea was that we could get everybody in one room. And we actually sold cars there. My dad sold 36 Hondas at the auto show in 74.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, we've changed a bit now. Just a bit.
Can you still buy a car at the auto show?
No, you can't buy a car anymore at the auto show, but it's a great, it's that one-stop shop where you can see absolutely everything. Whether you're in market or not, there's so much to see when, you know, we talk about transformative time. Just, it's a changed world, and this is the best place to understand the vehicles and the technology and what we're doing, what the government is doing with infrastructure and electric vehicles. It's just so much fun. And there's something for everybody.
You know what? I was going to bring a Brinks truck with $15 million and try to buy that Bugatti, but apparently they want $16 for it.
It's not enough.
Yeah, but they throw in an oil change, so it's good.
And was that Canadian or American?
It is Canadian. It's over $16 million Canadian. I asked them if I could drive it, and they just looked at me.
Susan,
sideways.
We have a lot of people who've got, grandkids or just family members. What's going on Family Day in particular that they can check out on Monday?
We've got some vehicles here from Disney, so I think that would be really great. We've got a lot of swag to give away. There's lots of opportunity for the kids to get in the cars and get them excited because they're our future. So we need to make sure that the parents are including the kids. I have my son down here with two of his buddies, and they're having a great time. They're just running around, and well, they're a little older, so it's good. They're 13, so they're on their own, but they're being responsible. I said, make good choices.
Do you find that the new drivers specifically may be looking at new cars, in other words, electric rather than a gas car?
It's in consideration. You know, the families in general, consumers right now, are really interested and hot about electric vehicles. But, you know, it takes time for us to shift, for consumers to open up to other types of vehicles and other types of powertrains. And, you know, when we talk about electric vehicles, it's not just about an all-electric vehicle, a.k.a. Tesla's been in the marketplace most of the time. There's also hybrids. That's an electric vehicle. There's the hybrid plug-in. That's considered an electric vehicle. So you know what? Coming down here, you get to learn all these things because I think sometimes there's confusion from the consumer about what does electric mean. So when you come here, you get to see all the different variations in what's coming down the pipe in the future.
And you're also giving the people the opportunity to drive these cars.
Yes, we have 18 electric vehicles that you can come down and check out and drive. So that way, again, you know, I always say bums in seat at my dealership. Don't buy a car unless you've actually put your bum in a seat and driven the car. Because does the car fit you? Do you like the car?
Does
do you
the
like
car fit
handled?
You? That's exactly right.
Well Susan, we met on Thursday a little bit, and here with the OPP, we got a bunch of vehicles there. We're really happy to be back. And cars with lights on the roofs are pretty cool. And you can put your bum in the front seat or the back seat of a police car. And I can tell you, there have been so many families coming through already yesterday saying this is the highlight of the day. And they're having so much fun getting everybody arrested and throwing them in the back of the vehicle. So,
right? It is so cool.
You got to come
army
by.
Vehicles?
Yes, exactly. Lots of fun things.
These tanks are unbelievable. They're so cool. I don't know how these guys fit in them, mind you, but lots to see.
They breathe in really slowly.
You know what? Right? Family Day is the biggest day that they have. I mean, remember last year they actually were thinking of closing the doors because they had so many people.
Yeah.
We were busting at the seams, but that's a good problem to have.
Yes, it is. It's a great show. Yeah. It gets you out of the cold and you get to walk.
It does.
Yeah. It's a great show.
Sure.
Thanks for joining us, Susan.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day. We look forward to seeing everybody down at the auto show. Come visit.
There you go. We'll be there on Monday.
All right. I will. I'll see you there.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
All righty. So when we come back, we'll be taking your phone calls. And if you have any calls for Officer Kerry.
Schmidt.
Alan Schmidt.
You don't call him that off air.
The fuzz. What am I?
Yeah, but what do you call Al off here?
I call him sir.
Just don't wake me up if I'm sleeping in the back.
Take us out, Al.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Oh, the weather outside. A different kind of time of the year. Dave's Corner Garage with Alan Gelman, Kerry Schmidt from the OPP, Dave Redinger, and we're going to get to one more call before we say goodbye.
Yes, we're going to be talking to Ben. Ben's on the phone with his Silverado. Ben, sorry for keeping you so long. Please go ahead.
Ben, are you there?
Good morning. I'm here.
Go ahead, Ben. What's your question?
Okay, I drive my Silverado pickup truck, 1500, about 80, 90 kilometers, and the lights come on the dash for traction and stable lock, whatever you call it.
Stability
and
control.
Then
yeah.
Let it sit for 2 hours, and they go off again for another 80 or 90 kilometers. Why?
Because you've got a bad wheel bearing. Most likely,
wheel bearing, is it?
Well, unfortunately, you can't buy the sensor separately. It comes as the whole hub assembly, so you've got a bad one. What someone can do, you got to go to a tech that has a good, you know, laptop, and what they do is they plug in and they can bring up on their screen all four wheels, okay? Mm-hmm. Because how ABS or traction control works, it's looking at the speeds of all the four wheels on the car, and if one's going faster or slower, it adjusts or applies itself. So what's happening is now is that one wheel he'll see is not running at the same speed as the other, or he'll see that signal drop off altogether. That will tell him which bearing it is and which sensor. All righty?
Okay, thank you. I'll take it and get it fixed.
There you go.
Yep, there you go. It's amazing how much is controlled by ABS. You got your ABS is controlled, your yaw control, locking differentials.
Yes, and the transmission is controlled by it.
Everything. So.
Yeah, yeah. This is why it needs to work. You know, you can't. And in fact, with a lot of these other controls in the car, because they're dependent on each other, you have to get them fixed. Because, for example, if you've got an active cruise control system where it's looking in front of the car to see that you're not approaching someone. If you don't fix that, if that sensor fails, it will not let you use the cruise at all. So unfortunately, it's going to get expensive.
You know what? They're just cars. And that's what's gone crazy here. Now they're computers, but they should just be a simple car to take you from A to B.
Well, but people like those options. In fact, when they're shopping for cars, they want to know, you know, do
crazy
I have Apple
stuff.
CarPlay? Do I have these different devices? Can I access the internet on my car?
That's why my fancy
Chevrolet. Can I start my car when I'm in the shower, you know, because it's cold and I want to make sure the car's warm?
Well,
those
mine
are
used
things.
To shut off at every stop sign. Every time you stop, the engine would shut off. So I figured out if a mechanic is working on your car, the hood's got to be open.
Mm-hmm.
So the engine won't shut off. So I disconnected the hood switch. Works normally.
if you're going out to the auto show for the next week and a half, check out the Ford Lincoln area.
Yeah.
The new Ford Lincolns are unreal. And they're all voice commanded, like you were saying, Al. You can start your car voice command.
Oh, you can tell the motor to start?
Yeah. Get it ready. I'll be there in 10 minutes.
I love it.
As opposed to leaving IKEA and saying, start the car.
Start the car.
I love it.
So what else you got going on with the OPP at the auto show?
No, we got our vehicles there. We got some new cruisers. Come check them out. Ford F-150 pickup trucks being delivered right now to the northern parts of the province. We got a Dodge Durango sitting there as well, all shined up. We got a Harley Davidson you can check out. A couple years ago, we had that Tesla Model X.
I remember that one.
That was cool. Yeah, it was there for the show. We got some posters of the Tesla, and we also got the Cybertruck Tesla that we're all done up here as well.
We like those vehicles when they're all dolled up, but when they're undercover,
then
we don't like them so much.
Just come on in. I'm telling people are just having so much fun jumping in the back of these cars, arresting their dates. Yesterday was Valentine's Day, so there was a lot of Valentine's jokes going on in the back seats of these police cars. So I don't know what was going on, but hey, this is a weekend. Lots of people coming down. Come on and visit us. Come say hi, and I hope to join maybe you guys throughout the week sometime. We got Elmer the Safety Elephant. We've got some goggles and demos and all kinds of cool things.
You know what the good thing is? In 3 years, we'll buy those cars at the auction.
There you go. Pick them up.
The police cars?
Yeah,
they're at the auction all the time.
Yeah.
All righty. That's a wrap.
Is
a
wrap.
That's a wrap.
Oh.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Right,
a lot
we'll
of fun.
Al, thank you very much.
You're
Steve.
Very welcome. Don't forget.
And the two guys behind the counter, there you go. And I want to thank my mother for letting me be here. And
see you Monday at the town hall with Al and the crew.
We'll be there.
You sure?
Yeah.
You buy a nice shirt?
Alrighty. Keep the shiny side up, the greasy side down.
No, he's going to get a new shirt.
After the show.
Get a new shirt, Al.
I'll carry his hat on.
I'll be watching for you guys. Take it easy.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.